Hey friends, welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. And in this podcast, I talk about homesteading, prepping, and everything in between. Today, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite conspiracies, the World Fairs. On the surface, these were massive international exhibitions meant to celebrate human progress. But when you look closer, they do not quite add up. The speed of construction, the grandeur of the architecture, the technologies on display, and the way these entire cities vanished almost overnight, it just all raises questions. And if you follow me on socials, I have been collecting books on the World Fairs. There's so many different kinds of world fairs, but I've been collecting a variety of books and showing little snippets from them and just asking questions. And this has intrigued so many. I've received just a flood of messages asking, hey, can you go into this further? So here you go. And it's just so interesting because when you tie in theories about a lost civilization known as Tartaria, possibly, the mud flood hypothesis, the idea of a great reset, and even the concept of ether energy, and maybe even, you know, being in post-millennium, post-Jesus Christ millennium. There's all these interesting things and they all seem to tie together. You start to see why the world fairs have become a focal point for alternative historians and conspiracy, you know, researchers like myself. I will say that conspiracy researcher instead of conspiracy theorist. But by the end of this episode, you'll see why so many people, myself included, are convinced that the official story of these fairs is hiding something much stranger and much larger. So let's begin with the basics. The World Fairs, also known as expositions, took place across the world between the mid-1800s and the early 1900s. And these were not small events. They were massive undertakings that drew in millions of visitors from around the world. So Chicago's 1893 Columbian Exposition alone hosted over 27 million visitors in just 6 months. So this is a time when the U.S. population was only about 63 million. So think about that. Nearly half of the country visited a single event. It's just interesting as I'm reading into the World Fairs to think about populations of like where the United States supposedly was and how amazing and beautiful these buildings were. And they were supposedly built in such a limited amount of time. But what made these fairs so remarkable, like I'm saying, is the buildings. So Chicago's fair was nicknamed the White City because its 200 new buildings were covered supposedly in a plaster-like material called staff, painted a uniform white. So the result was a dazzling city of domes and colonnades and places that looked like it had been plucked straight out of ancient Rome or Athens, you know, just put up for funsies. And visitors described walking into another world. So think about it. People are building their houses from wood, limited tools, horse and buggy, and people's homes at the time were just so basic, but at the same time, they were able to construct these massive, immaculate buildings. Something smells funny, but these world fairs, especially the Chicago one, which is one of the most famous, it was so beautiful and advanced. It seemed to exist outside of the time. Like I'm saying, you have people living in wooden shacks and then these beautiful, immaculate, almost perfect buildings. And at night, the entire city was illuminated with electric lights. So something so quote-unquote new and overwhelming that many visitors wept at the sight, because when these buildings were lighting up and we're told, oh, they were just ornamented with thousands and thousands of light bulbs. I will show you pictures if you are listening on my website. That's where I'll post some photos because I have been collecting these World Fair photo books, and it is insane that these buildings at all these different expositions lit up just so beautiful at night. And again, that doesn't line up with the time. But here's the catch. We're told that these buildings were temporary. They were built cheaply and torn down after the fair ended. This is a common theme. These fairs were built super fast, and then they had the World Fair, and then they tore them down, or there was a mysterious fire. But yet, when you look at photographs, the level of detail is stunning. Like, I have spent so much time just flipping through the books that I have because they are beautiful. And these were not slapped together sheds like most people were living in. They were fully formed works of architecture with intricate carvings, statues, and massive domes. And they were supposedly constructed in record time. Chicago's fairgrounds were built in supposedly just 2 years on swampy land that had to be drained and leveled first. So even with today's technology, this would be a logistical nightmare. So how did they do it with a horse-drawn cart technology at the time and steam engines? This is the first oddity that makes people pause. It makes me pause because when I'm going through these exposition books, all of these, not all of them, but a lot of them had these intricate canal systems. Even here in America, these intricate canals that you're told were just put in temporarily to go through all of these amazing buildings. And I mean, these were hundreds of buildings and thousands of acres just put up temporarily. Like, I keep saying that, but because it's still so bewildering to me, even as I am speaking about this. But now let's talk about the pattern that shows up again and again. I've kind of hinted at it. A city is built for a fair. It dazzles millions of visitors. It hosts new, quote unquote, new inventions, cultural exhibitions, and breathtaking architecture. And then just as quickly as it appeared, quote unquote, appeared, okay, it vanishes. So take San Francisco's Panama Pacific International Exposition in 1915. It featured grand palaces, colonnades, and the famous Tower of Jewels, decorated with over 100,000 colored glass gems that sparkled in the sunlight. The Palace of Fine Arts looked so permanent and majestic that visitors assumed it would become a fixture of the city. But within a year, almost everything was demolished or dismantled. Only the Palace of Fine Arts survived, and even it decayed until it had to be completely, quote, you know, rebuilt in the 1960s. And I have a newspaper that I got from around this time with one of San Francisco's exhibitions. And it's so interesting because some of these exhibitions not only show like ancient Rome architecture, but also like Egyptian looking architecture, even in Buffalo, New York, and down in Memphis, Tennessee. Like, why are we having these temporary Egyptian like structures here? What is really going on? Do they tell us the truth in history class? I don't know. But consider St. Louis in 1904, which is one of my favorite exhibitions. I love them all, but this one's really interesting. You have the Louisiana Purchase Exposition, which covered 1,200 acres and had nearly 1,500 buildings. It introduced to the public the things like an ice cream cone, wireless telegraphs, and early x-ray machines. Yet within a few years, almost all of it was gone. And again, the timeline of this, like the population was small. We had just supposedly come out and populated the western portion of the United States and people were still moving out here. But then you can just put up 1,500 buildings on 1,200 acres and have a canal system all for funsies. And that pattern repeats in Buffalo, Paris, London, and dozens of other cities. And I actually just got a book on the exposition in London, which is absolutely fascinating. It's supposedly we're told before you could take photos. So it is of art that was made during that time in the mid 1800s of the London Exposition. I'm still diving into that. That's a new exposition to me. But wow, the buildings were insane. And it's the same story where we're told, oh, these buildings were just thrown up and then they got destroyed. And that's that. There's nothing more to it. The pattern is simple. Build a beautiful city. Bedazzle the world. Burn or bulldoze it. Erase it from the map, leaving behind only photographs and a handful of surviving buildings. And why? So the official answer is that these were just temporary structures built for short-term use. But the conspiracy interpretation, or I feel like, you know, you are looking at this and you're just saying, hey, that doesn't really make sense. Like, your intuitive interpretation sees something else, an intentional erasing of some sorts. This makes me think of when I was younger and going through our history class in the public school system, and you're reading in these history books, oh, Washington, D.C., there was a fire. Detroit, there was a fire. All these cities had fires. And I still remember thinking, I'm like, wow, that's weird that, you know, every major city just had a fire that took out like all of the city. Wow, that's just odd. Like something fell off about that to me. And then when I got into the world fairs, which of course I didn't learn about them in history class, I'm like, oh, this kind of ties into the fairs. Like something is being erased here, I feel. And this brings us to the Great Reset Theory. So according to this view, the world fairs weren't just celebrations of progress. They were tools to rewrite history. So imagine that there was once a global civilization with advanced knowledge of architecture, energy, and technology. Something happened, a disaster, a war, a deliberate takeover that destroyed much of it. The survivors needed a new narrative, one that put them in control and explained away the remnants of the old world. So enter the world fairs. These events were, in this theory, carefully staged productions. Older buildings that had survived were covered in plaster facades to make them appear new, or they weren't covered in plaster at all, and that's just part of the narrative. The fairs acted as introductions. Here's modern technology. Here's modern architecture. Here's the story of progress we want you to believe. And once the curtain fell, the temporary, you know, quote unquote, temporary buildings were all demolished, taking with them the physical evidence that these might not have been new at all. The fair served as a reset button, according to this theory. They told the public, this is the beginning of modern civilization. Forget about what came before it. And when you look at the world wars and even what's going on around the world now, these old world buildings are still being targeted for destruction. They were targeted for destruction in the world wars. And I just find that so interesting. It seems to be a common theme and pattern. The mud flood hypothesis ties neatly into this idea. So have you ever walked past an old building and noticed that what looks like a full set of windows buried below the ground level, or that a grand doorway seems to lead straight into dirt? Mud flood theorists, you know, myself, would argue that these aren't design quirks. Instead, they're evidence that at some point, a massive event blanketed parts of cities in mud and sediment, burying entire floors of buildings. And when you think about it, all of these cities that have underground cities, I mean, Seattle, even the small towns that I live by have underground tunnels. So I would encourage you to look into this of wherever you live by, go downtown, look at the old buildings. Some of the old buildings will even have the old spires on them. They will have the old architecture to them. You will see how windows go underground and you're like, wow, that's weird. And there's even like some places where you can see where the building is separated from the cement and you can see how it goes underground. I mean, what would cause this? Is this really just the design of they were so advanced 100 years ago and they could just dig into the ground? And it doesn't make sense. When you start looking at the photos, especially, you know, historic photos, which a lot are altered, but you start to see these patterns of why are these buildings underground? So in this view, many of the buildings used for the world fairs weren't newly constructed at all. They were older, quote unquote, Tartarian structures. So if you've heard about Tartaria, that had survived the mud flood, whatever the mud flood came from. Some people suspect this was Noah's flood, or there was a event that triggered land to melt and flood everything. And the construction, quote unquote, construction for the fairs may have been simply just digging these buildings out, adding staircases to reach the new ground level, and putting fresh plaster facades on to make them appear as temporary fair buildings. And what's interesting, even in my photo books, there are a lot of dirt roads, and you're just like, wow, they're constructing these immaculate buildings on dirt roads that look like they haven't, like, they're just in the middle of a field and they're pulling horse and buggy in it. So I'm trying to describe how I'm thinking about it when I'm presented with this. I'm like, man, that that doesn't make sense. It's like in the middle of the field. It really does look like mud just flowed in and covered these buildings. They're in the middle of nowhere. They have muddy roads, but they're building these great technological buildings. And this theory would explain the speed of construction too. If you're not really building from scratch, if you're just refurbishing existing buildings, it's a lot easier to create a quote new city, you know, quote unquote new city in a short time, which a lot of these fairs were said to be built in 6 months. Just, you know, hundreds of buildings, immaculate, huge, ginormous, just, you know, a few months. And somebody messaged me and they're like, well, they didn't have any regulations back then. That's how they could do this. Okay, let's think about that for a moment. If there was no regulations and people were just going crazy building, you're going to have so many errors because people are going to be tired, people will get hurt. You're not going to be able to have the precision that it took to make these buildings. I don't claim to know the technology that it took to make these buildings. You know, for what I think, you can come up with your own conclusion, but I do not think that just because we didn't have regulations, we could go from building the most immaculate structures to building the Walmart plain Jane building down the road that is almost depressing to look at now. I kind of touched on it, but now let's bring Tartaria into the picture. So on old European maps, you'll see vast areas of Asia labeled Tartary. Historians dismiss this as a vague term used for little known lands, but in the conspiracy world, Tartaria is said to have been a vast advanced civilization that spanned much of the earth. And what's interesting, my old Marco Polo book, which detailed his travels around the world, he talked about Tartary and the Tartarians and their customs and how they were everywhere. So there is something to it. I think that this conspiracy is a cover story for the actual truth, but Tartaria is credited with building the grand architecture we see all over the world. Again, I think that's a cover. I once used to believe this, that it was Tartaria, but then I kept looking and looking, but I just want to describe this for you. So the cathedrals, the star forts, the domes, and palaces that seem far beyond the capabilities of the societies we're told that built them. The idea is that Tartaria had a deep knowledge of energy systems, architecture, and possibly even free energy, the ether. When Tartaria fell, its history was erased, its buildings were repurposed, and its technologies were hidden. The world fairs in this story were a way to reintroduce some of this architecture and technology under new labels while quietly demolishing or hiding the rest. So this would explain why so many different cultures and countries suddenly started building in similar architectural styles in the 1800s. Styles that appear all around the world, not just local. So these buildings that were here in America, they are in Japan and Australia and Europe. I mean, all over Africa. So it would also explain why these fairs look less like temporary expositions and more like the stage rebranding of a civilization's leftovers, like they were actual buildings that some civilization, which was all over the world, was using at one point. Now, I mentioned the ether, and I'm not sure if this is the first time you've ever heard of it. That's totally okay, because let's talk about it. It is something everyone should know about. In mainstream science, ether was a discarded theory, the invisible medium that light was once believed to travel through. And after quote unquote experiments failed to detect it, the idea was dropped. Okay. But in conspiracy circles like me, ether remains central to all of this. And I just love it because you see these themes as well as when you're digging through history, that there is a long-standing theory, but then, ooh, science comes and discredits it, okay? So you have like the pasteurization theory versus the terrain theory, and pasteurization wins. And when you really scratch the surface of everything and realize that the people who are controlling the world are in a club and you're not in it, it makes sense why certain things are pushed forward and other things are hidden. So with the ether, the theory says that ether is real and that older civilizations, including potentially Tartaria, if that's what these buildings were from, knew how to harness it as a form of free energy. Okay, listen to that. Free energy. Now, what are now overlords want us to have free energy. No, they like having our power bills that seem to go up and up and up, and install those new smart meters where your power still goes up and up and up. But buildings with domes and spires and intricate metal ornamentation weren't just pretty, they were functional. So they were energy collectors and transmitters pulling power from the ether, so this other element, to light buildings, run machines, and maybe even heal the body. And what's interesting is ether used to be an element on the periodic table, but somewhere around the 1900s transition, it was removed, okay? So it seems as if something was being suppressed. So around this time, ether was suppressed. Then you had relativity and Einstein come about and all of that sort of side of physics. And I'm just going to have you take a moment, go look up Einstein's wife and then some of the presidents, you know, previous presidents' wives, and, you know, just see what kind of pattern you see, and then you will start maybe questioning, like, okay, who's in control? Why would they push certain things? But if you don't see anything, that's totally fine too. But back to the World Fairs. At the Chicago's World Fair, visitors were stunned by the glowing lights that covered the grounds. I mean, it really was immaculate. In my opinion, the Buffalo World Fair had the most amazing glowing buildings from what I've seen so far in my photo books, and I feel like in that book, there's a photo that captures the ether being harnessed. And the official explanation is that the building in the Chicago's World Fair was powered by Westinghouse's alternating current system designed by Nikola Tesla. But some believe the architecture itself played a role, that the White City was wired into an older hidden energy system. The fairs, in this sense, weren't just showing off electricity, they were showing the public a piece of lost technology. They don't want us to have free energy, okay? Imagine how much freedom you would have if your house was able to harness free energy through what we now know as the fireplace, but the fireplace was not used as a fireplace back in the day with free energy when you look at historic old photos, but that's a whole other topic. But only, again, for that technology to be taken away when the fair closed, because they want us to pay for things. They want us to be in bondage. They want us to be in chains. They want us to constantly be chasing the next line. And if we had free energy, we would have so much freedom. A little side note, too, is I remember when I was first being introduced to these topics, I was watching a guy, I think in 2019, and he was showing how you could use free energy in your house and how you could wire your house to do it and how you could harness it. And I was like, wow, what? Free energy? And you harness it from another element? And I was so intrigued. I was following along, and then his channel disappeared and nobody has heard from him again. I have my suspicions of what happened, and it boils down to our overlords do not want us to have free energy. That is too much freedom, and not having to perpetually have bills to pay for would give people too much, as depressing as that sounds. But when you start looking at the whole picture and tying it into these world fairs, that's, you know, kind of what I have leaned into. But you can let me know what you're thinking. And the architecture and lighting aren't the only oddities at the fair. The fairs were also known for their unusual exhibits, many of which seemed way too advanced for their time. Again, everybody's living in wood houses, but also building these immaculate, ginormous buildings. One of the most famous was the baby incubator exhibit. At multiple fairs, including Chicago and then later at Coney Island, premature babies were displayed in glass incubators for the public to see. They were literally just called baby incubators, and the incubators were presented as cutting-edge medical technology, but the fact that they were already functioning at public exhibitions suggests the technology may have been more established than we're told. And then there's also another theory that ties into this, is the Cabbage Patch Baby. So you have the Cabbage Patch dolls, right, which were very popular in the late 1900s. There was also the theme of orphans, which was very popular. I remember growing up, and a lot of the cartoons I watched had like orphans in it, or the movies like Orphans. I thought orphans were a bigger thing than they are now. I don't see that theme much going on, but Cabbage Patch Kids and orphans, and there's a whole theory behind those as well, and where these kids came from. Were these actual baby incubators? Anyways, other inventions introduced at the fairs include x-ray machines, motion pictures, moving sidewalks, and wireless telegraphs. And in many cases, these inventions appeared suddenly, as if pulled from nowhere, and were showcased to massive audiences as brand new marvels. The conspiracy angle argues that these were not inventions being unveiled for the first time. They were older technologies being reintroduced at a controlled pace, framed as modern progress, when in fact they may have just been inherited knowledge. So the overall message of these conspiracies surrounding the World Fairs is that these buildings were founded. They were found and then restructured as, we built these. And another reoccurring theme with the fairs is fire. Fires destroyed portions of the Chicago fairgrounds, including the cold storage building, in a spectacular fashion. And other fairs saw their grounds demolished or dismantled almost immediately after closing. Entire temporary cities were erased in months. Now, I just find that weird. It's easy to say this was just practicality. These were never meant to last, but in the conspiracy reading, fire and demolition serve a different role, erasing. So if the fairgrounds contained evidence of older civilizations or technologies that didn't fit the official timeline, the easiest way to remove them was to burn or tear them down. Once gone, only photographs, and some of these photographs are altered and written accounts remained, and those could be framed however the authorities wanted, which I find interesting when I look at these, some of these old photos in the books that I have. You can tell that the photos have been altered with writing on them, or the skies are whited out, which is very common in historic photos. But the writings actually do give clues and slips here and there. So a lot of the buildings had quote-unquote portals. They talked about having portals. There was one building that had a huge dome, and the writer talked about, hey, another firmament had been discovered. They specifically said, another firmament. This dome was like another firmament being discovered. You don't hear about firmaments anymore, but if you look at the Bible in Genesis, you find firmament, and that's a whole other conspiracy theory going into flat earth, which a lot of people mock and laugh because it does sound so ridiculous, and they make it sound so ridiculous. But why do the world fairs matter so much to conspiracy researchers? Because they sit at the intersection of several big ideas. So they highlight anomalies in architecture, technology, and history. So when I say these buildings that were immaculate here in the United States, there are also buildings in South Africa that were super immaculate. If you go look at some of the Capitol buildings down there and the stories of why they were built in Japan and Australia and Europe and just all over the place, you're like, wow, this architecture sure seems advanced for, like the Dark Ages, or people who are living in wood shacks out in the middle of nowhere. So these theories are tied into a Great Reset, the idea that history has been rewritten to erase evidence of older civilizations. They connect with the mud flood hypothesis, which explains the buried buildings we still see today in the underground cities and the tunnels. They link to Tartaria, the alleged lost empire, and they fit with the theory of ether, a suppressed free energy source that was once on the periodic table. And there's also the theory that I mentioned in the beginning. Some people believe we are post-millennium. So if you believe in Jesus Christ and Christianity, one day Jesus is supposed to return, and right now a lot of people believe we're in the end of times, and there's all these signs happening of the end of times in the Bible, and then Jesus comes and then he rules for 1,000 years in the millennium. There's another theory that these buildings are from the millennium, free energy, and this perfection was built and used in the millennium. And then post-millennium, which some believe is, you know, around 1776, right around there, that is when these buildings and the great resets like started to happen. When the Satan was loosed, he then was able to wreak havoc and rewrite what happened. We're told that these buildings, a lot of them, were made in the Dark Ages, and that could be taken as a mockery. So that's a whole other entire conspiracy that people believe. And what's fascinating about that is when I started watching and learning about the mud floods and the world fairs like five years ago. And I now see some of those creators who were sharing on it are now sharing how they believe we are in Satan's little season. So it's kind of like you start going down this muddy rabbit hole, and some people are popping out into that. And I will have an episode on that here as well, because I find that equally fascinating, because now when you look at the buildings, you just know this was not built in the horse and buggy time. At least that's what I believe. You can believe something else. But the fairs also mattered because they were witnessed by millions of ordinary people. So these weren't secret experiments and hidden labs. They were massive public spectacles. If you want to reset public memory and roll out a new narrative of progress, there would be no better way than to dazzle the masses with breathtaking architecture, futuristic technologies, and glowing cities. Then you erase it all and tell them, oh, it was only temporary. Yeah, we built that. And honestly, it is so easy to just do a reset. And you're thinking like, what? Like, people would remember, they would tell their kids. Think about how much you know from your great grandparents. I don't know anything from them. I know that I had a great grandpa came out on a train. I know I have a great grandma who supposedly was came out from Romania. I don't know anything. So their truth, I have no idea, because we have been so dismantled from our family lines. And now with the news running 24/7, truth is even more obscured and the lines are muddied. So when you put it all together, the world fairs look less like temporary carnivals and more like staged productions. They were big, too grand, too fast, and too thoroughly erased to fit comfortably into the official story. And like I said earlier, these buildings are still being erased if you pay attention to what is going on around the world. These buildings are still targeted. And I find that intriguing, if anything. And maybe they were exactly what history says. Massive exhibitions built quickly with plaster and wood. These elaborate canals made super quickly and then demolished because they weren't meant to last, or maybe they were something else entirely. A controlled reveal of older technologies and architectures, part of a broader plan to reset civilization's memory and write a new version of history. Honestly, if you look at every Capitol building in the United States, you're like, huh, wow, that doesn't really fit the timeline of when they say they were built. You know, look at the Iowa Capitol building. Like, come on, man. But at the end of the day, what makes this theory so powerful isn't that we have definitive proof. It's that the photographs, the timelines, and the strangeness refuse to sit quietly. It's like it's jumping up out of the pages at me when I look at it. Even when I was little and I said that I thought the fires were weird, the glowing white cities, the buried windows, the fires, the incubators, the domes, the spires, they all whisper that history might not be what we have been told. And especially when you think of these, well, I think they're fraudsters that were highlighted, these historical figures from the past. And then you start looking and you're like, wait, they come from this family line. Wait, they're flashing that symbol in their photograph. Wait, there's something going on that smells funky here. So next time you pass by an old building with windows sunk below the ground, or see an ornate dome topped with a spire, you know, know, where they used to have mercury and copper, or stumble across a photograph of the vanished white city, take a moment to ask yourself, was this just progress, or was it part of a story we've only began to rediscover? I hope that you enjoyed this episode and it was a good look into the world fairs and more on what I've been sharing on social media, because I have these books and I find them so fascinating, and I hope you do too. I love the world fairs. If you enjoyed this, please let me know, and I will see you next time. Have an amazing day, and thank you for spending your time here. Bye.